But what I strongly feel, and which is what I have written and spoken about also, it's actually the language barrier broke down when the international content was getting viewed by us dubbed in Hindi or English. I think what will happen is that from a content perspective, business of content is going to take over. The era of explosively expensive content is over. OTTs are going to become more of content publishing places rather than customer acquisition places. Because as digital is growing, your customer acquisition cost, and I've been saying this for the longest period of time, has gone through the roof.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to yet another episode of The Growth Genius, where we bring to you growth stories in marketing and business. This is powered by InfiDigit, the SEO specialists. In today's episode, we have a growth genius who has given us so many insights in our previous seasons that we asked her to come again on the season 3 of the TGG, as we call it. She is a powerhouse in marketing, and she has been across various industries at the helm of marketing, where she has delivered phenomenal results in her career. Right now, she is in a very exciting space, and that is the reason why we thought she will be of tremendous value to our viewers in this episode. So without further ado, please join in welcoming Ms. Divya Dixit, who is now an advisor to multiple businesses in growth and strategy. Thanks, Divya, for coming on to the Growth Genius. We are truly honored to have you on the show, and it's always a pleasure to interact with you. So thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, Mehul. Thank you so much to you and InfiDigit for inviting me to Growth Genius. And I'm really looking forward to an exciting chat. Let's go.
Wonderful. So Divya, I wanted to understand, you know, your career has transitioned across industries. You have been in telecom, you have been in entertainment and digital as well, you know, which is actually your forte now. Tell us something about your journey.
Okay. There's nothing planned about my journey. So first, I want to be very honest. Somebody will think that, you know, she planned a lot. I never did. I started my career at a point of time when retail was the most upcoming thing, right? And I thought I'm possibly going to make my career in retail as a sunrise industry. Did it for about 8 years, moved on to, a husband got a job in Bombay, so completely unplanned moved. Moved to entertainment, Sony Entertainment Television, because I was very, very bored by retail by then. I also think I have switched a lot of industries, which I'll talk about now when I tell you how the career moved. Also because I think I'm a very curious person and I like to know of new things. I get bored of what you already know because there's so much you can do in one space. So I thought when I landed in Bombay that I'd already done enough in retail. I had a couple of offers, one from Future, one from Sony Entertainment. And I thought it was time for me to switch industries. Moved on to Sony Entertainment, broadcast, worked there. Then worked with UTV, Ronnie, launched UTV Business News channel with him. Then moved on to work with Star because at that point of time, they were rebranding and relaunching Channel Way. They'd seen my work at UTV. They called me. They said, we are excited if you can do some work with us. So I worked with them. Then I think broadcast also I got a little bored of because there's so much a marketing person can do in broadcast, right? And my ex-boss from Barista was actually launching a telecom firm with Tata's. And he gave me a call saying, would you like to launch a telecom brand? And I said, why not? Though, for all my excitement, it was a big challenge because there were, at that point of time, there were about 12 GSM players already existing in the market. That was the era when, you know, Aircel and all these chota-chota companies region-wise had taken the licenses and set up shops.
Right.
But Tata Docomo was going to be a national brand with multiple, you know, circles. And I was quite excited about learning it. So went on there, did some good work over there. Our challenge was how to get people to come onto Tata Docomo when already the cream was divided between Airtel, Voda, and the rest of the players. So we launched a proposition called Pay Per Second while the entire industry was charging people per minute. that got a huge, huge growth. And from telecom, then I moved on to do music. So I handled Sunburn, the young music brand, for quite some time. I also worked with Saregama. So these are two critical industries that I truly loved working in. Sunburn was more of a youth brand with, you know, wings across events, live music, merch, artists, whereas Saregama was more on the publishing side. So I've seen that part of the business as well. I think, but music could only interest me so much. And, you know, with Sunburn, I was getting into this young mindset and speaking to the young audience. And as we all know, yeah, the world has become younger. You may age, but your minds are becoming younger. And which is exactly what I call younger mindset marketing. So I said, what is evolving in media? What is the next step? Do I go back to broadcast or do I just look at something else? And digital happened, right? And I'd already got a taste of it in Tata Docomo because we were the first ones in the country to launch 3G. And my boss had put me in charge of doing content acquisition piece for 3G. So there was already something germinating in my mind saying, listen, if bandwidth has to be consumed, if broadband has to happen, then if they are going to use content as a bait, which means digital content has a scope. And then Le Eco came my way, which is a huge Chinese firm, which is into the content ecosystem, basically producing content, movies. Also, they have their own set of businesses in laptops, TVs, and mobiles. They were a huge firm in China, one of the biggest leading firms in content ecosystem in China. They were launching in India. And they were looking for a GM marketing, and I joined them. I had a great time with them, but then they went bankrupt, unfortunately, because they tried to spread their wings too fast in US and Russia, which are very iPhone markets. From there, I moved on to launch Z5. And from Z5, after launching Z5 for a couple of years, I moved on to work with Old Balaji. Worked with Old Balaji for 4.5 years, grew the business. And I guess after doing digital for such a long time, I think I've gotten addicted to it. I love the pace. I love the momentum. I get a huge dopamine kick out of seeing the numbers grow. What happened at that point of time was my daughter had grown up. She was moving out of home to leave for Canada and leave for further studies, which means I desperately needed these 4 months with her, to be with her, because I've always been a working mom. Took a break. But in a way, that was also good because I ended up working with multiple firms as a consultancy, right? So I consulted with a US-based firm, Quickly, which is into South Asian food delivery services. I worked with them for about 8-9 months, helped them grow their business, expanded into B2C, B2B. Super excited. They, in fact, gave me a full-time offer as well. But I think at that point of time, I was still figuring whether I want to be in consultancy or I want to go back full-time. And then I did consultation with actually quite a few platforms, namely one, which is iTap, which I'm still working on, which is run by Kunal Das Gupta, which is into the business of content and gaming. I work with them as a quasi-CEO. Then I work with Stage, Vinay, for partnerships and for growth strat. I also worked a lot with Producer Bazaar, which is into movies aggregation platform. Plus, I also worked with a couple of smaller apps, consulting them on strategy and growth. So yeah, this is what I've been doing. It's been enjoyable. It's been a great journey. I think the advantage of doing consultation has been that I've been able to put my hands into various things rather than, you know, sticking to one thing. But I'll be very honest, sometimes I do miss a structured, you know, life of 9 to 8. In fact, at Balaji, it was never 9 to 8. It was 24/7, 365 days. But I do miss structured life and I would love to go back to it.
Pretty exciting in terms of, you know, how your journey has been. And, you know, this brings me to the next question. You know, you are actually in a very exciting space where you are working with startups, you are working with a lot of people, you know, in the digital space. So I would like to understand your current role. If you can, you know, elaborate a bit on that, that would be fantastic.
Okay, so currently, like I said, I'm strategically consulting with various people, right? So in terms of strategic consultation, I work directly with the founders. The basic step begins with first sitting with them and understanding what their issues are, what their troubles are. Because if I don't understand what their issues are and what is it where they want to take it, right? It is impossible for me to advise them. At times, we've had such detailed discussions, and I take at least a week to 10 days to understand the entire thing. Because what happens is, there are times that I have advised founders to change their thought process. See, it's up to them. They're the founders, right? It's their firm. It's their platform. But there are certain people who I have requested either to modify what is it, the path that they're walking to achieve a certain milestone, or I have been frank enough to tell them, listen, this is not going to work out and this is where you need to be. So that process itself takes away at least 7 to 10 days. The next step for me as a strategic advisor, consultant, is to actually sit with them and work on a detailed deck and a proposition for them. Once we agree to that, from there flows the entire operational strategy. So while I do this, I also work extensively with their teams to ensure that whatever that we discussed, whatever's being spoken about, is also getting executed. So largely my, and then of course, there are very clear KRAs, soft KRAs, hard KRAs that I, you know, we discuss and we agree with, where we want to see a certain growth momentum, whether it be numbers, partnerships, whether it be in terms of social media strategy, marketing, whatsoever that it may be. So that's how typically my role currently is.
So starting from Z to Alt, you have been in the OTT space, and you know, we would love to understand what your outlook is as far as OTT is concerned, because you are one of the best persons we know who know a lot about OTT. I in fact recently read your article on Deccan Chronicle as well, which actually talks about, you know, how OTT is now becoming global, and you know, language is not such a barrier per se. So you know, if you could tell us more about you know, what you think about OTT, that would be fantastic.
So, okay, let me say this. OTT is developing in a two parallel stream right now, right? So we've started this journey, or rather I started this journey in this industry when OTT was not even the mainstay entertainment, right? Nobody knew OTT. So when we were launching, when I was with Laico and we were thinking of launching our OTT platform, people used to say, what is OTT? What does it do? Like, my family wondered what I was doing, right? At Z5, things had moved up a little bit. Hotstar was there already in the play, and you know, Amazon, Netflix were also there. So at least with Z5, there was this discussion in terms of, okay, these people have taken up these spaces. Now, where is Z5 going to fit in? And at that point of time, at Z5, we came up with the fact that, listen, when you're angry, when you're upset, when you're super excited, you want to speak in your language. Aap English mein baat nahi karte ho, aap apni matra bhasha mein baat karte ho. And therefore, we coined the term, apni bhasha mein feel hai, right? From Z5 and the fact that Z has entertainment as a group, had so many languages, we decided we'll launch in multiple languages. I think regional started taking off from there. It was actually Z5 that started pushing out regional content on OTT. Prior to that, if you look at Amazon, Netflix, Hotstar, they were all very urban focused, right? So that journey sort of Z5 kicked off, and then came Alt Balaji, which said, listen, Hindi. And then started all your Hoi Choi, Stage, Chopal of the works, Kachalanka, said, actually, you're doing Hindi, but then there is so much of my consumer mass which is unserved or underserviced with good content. So I think OTT is now exploding in two ways very clearly, which is basically the urban audience and the regional audience. And then of course, people like me sitting in between that tend to consume everything. But what I strongly feel, and which is what I have written and spoken about also, it's actually the language barrier broke down when the international content was getting viewed by us dubbed in Hindi or English. Right, so Korean, Spanish, Mexican, Turkish. Z had been running Turkish channels for such a long time, dubbed in Hindi, and women base was the biggest. And I know that because we shut it down on broadcast and we launched it on Z5. And that entire base immediately shifted to Z5, right? That was one of the strategies we had to actually get more people to engage with Z5. So I think it's that part which sort of exploded the idea, and people said, listen, if we can accept international content dubbed in Hindi, why can't we accept other regions' content from India dubbed in Hindi? It is, I mean, and box office is absolute testimony to the fact. You look at a RRR, you look at a Jailer, you know, you look at a Pushpa. These are all blockbusters, right? Also, what is going to happen, I think, now is while the language barriers are broken down and things are going to get dubbed, subtitled, and this osmosis is going to be both ways. So, Hindi will get watched, dubbed in their language. For example, Shah Rukh Khan movie currently, right? I was just in Chennai and I saw his movie posters and hoardings written in Tamil, right? So, that osmosis is going to happen both ways. This is going to be reflective more so on OTT because somehow people are moving from broadcast and coming onto OTT more. It's the mainstay. Also, I think what will happen is that from a content perspective, business of content is going to take over. The era of explosively expensive content is over. So very big platforms will now be able to possibly afford one or two series like that in a year. I mean, Citadel is under question mark right now, right? That where did all that money go? So that era is over. Hotstar is already commissioning series in a long format with, you know, cost amortized over a certain amount. I know that Alt is commissioning such series as well. So that era of OTT demanding 70-80 lakh rupees per episode is over now. It's gone. It's going to be possibly the broadcasting rates per episode, which is now going to come into play, which is 5-6 lakhs per episode. That's the era which is coming in, because which basically means OTT is becoming mainstay, and therefore cannot because you need to buffer up your library, you need to make that money work more for you. Also, I believe what is going to happen is OTTs are going to become more of content publishing places rather than customer acquisition places, because as digital is growing, your customer acquisition cost, and I've been saying this for the longest period of time, has gone through the roof, right? It's become double, triple, because there are so many apps fighting in the same space. So obviously your Google, FB and the other publishing inventories have gone through the roof. So, which is where aggregation and business partnerships step in, right? So whether it's with telecom firms like Jio, Vodafone or Airtel, or whether it is in partnerships with various broadband aggregators, or it is in partnerships with your typical aggregators like OTT Play and Tata Play, I think OTT platforms slowly and steadily, except for the top four or five of them, will be highly dependent on these aggregations and business partnerships and will be very, very conservative with customer acquisition directly. So you still have consumers, but they come possibly more through partnerships. Also, I think it's time for OTT platforms as a strategy to work on the organic growth because as you become mainstay, which is what happened to broadcast also, right? When you become mainstay, your organic growth should be much more. As an industry, if you are becoming mainstay entertainment, your organic needs to be much higher. You cannot completely be dependent on inorganic. Also, content, I think, you will again have two parallel streams because India is still very much a mobile country. So people will still consume content, and you know, we are very particular about our culture. So if anybody wants to see 365 days or 50 Shades of Grey or Gandhi Baat, you're still going to watch it on mobile or alone on your laptop, right? You're not going to sit with your family and watch it on the television. But because OTTs now become mainstay, for example, I have a home of 3 television sets. We don't have channel connection anywhere. We are completely now on OTTs, right? The family time, typical family time is 1 hour of watching something together every night. And that has to be either drama, thriller, crime, political shows. So I've been saying this for the last 2 years, that content itself will evolve into two different streams, genre-wise as well as cost of business-wise. And I can see that very much happening right now. also, like I've been saying, OTT platforms will really truly have to figure out innovative business models. So whether it's TVOD, SVOD, AVOD, or any other kind of co-production partnerships, etc., or co-marketing partnerships, etc., that they need to do to stay afloat. They need to start thinking like that, because like I've been saying, this is a great time to be in the content production business, but difficult time with 60 plus platforms floating around to be in the OTT business.
Divya, that's very interesting. You talked about, growing organically, and that is what we do at InfiDigit. In fact, we grow your reach through organic search. So it actually urges me to ask another question to you as to, how you reach out to people organically or otherwise, or, in general, how do you get your consumers to get onto your platform? What is your take on that?
So for organic piece, typically there are multiple strategies that one tends to use, right? So of course, social media is one of them, because those are critical today. Everybody's on Insta. Facebook is dying to a certain extent, but the young audience has all shifted to Insta. Then of course, Twitter, which has been rebranded as X, because there's a certain intellectual audience that still goes over there, right? And it's great for seeding controversy. So social media platforms. Then you have, of course, your public relations team, which does a great job of spreading the word. And then comes down the fact that you're looking at two things critically for driving organic. One thing is your engagement platforms, right? So something like a WebEngage or whatever that one might be using. And of course, the other fact is the artificial intelligence and the data analytics and the machine learning that you're going to use, which you implement via tools at the back end, and then you start spreading the word across your audience, right? The third thing is the search engine optimization, right? Which you typically need to start as a long tail and short tail activity. Long tail activity for the platform and for your biggest selling keywords, and short tail activity for the products that you're launching one by one. In fact, I believe InfiDigit also is very, very good in the SEO piece, and I have always said that SEO is one of the most critical things if you need to get your engagement and organic high, and also your brand repute and your website repute, right? So these are critical activities that get covered and organic traction starts pulling in.
Right. So you talked about AI, can you elaborate a bit more in terms of, what is your take on AI?
So like I've been saying, AI is something which takes two things. It takes width of data and depth of data, right? And AI is slapped upon machine learning. So first the machine has to start learning. People speak about AI and ML in the same breath. I always say, no, it first has to be machine learning and then AI will come on top of it. So the machine learns. If my backend, for example, let's say I am an OTT platform and I'm launching products, I'm targeting audiences, I'm getting assembling data, viewers, history, transaction, watch time, etc., right? That's my machine learning happening, that's the data gathering at the back end. Slowly and steadily, my platform, if I have a recommendation engine which is built in, that machine learning will get slapped upon by artificial intelligence and will start asking the consumer, listen, did you like it? And if you liked it, you need to rate it, because then I'll recommend more to you, right? So in these terms of AI ML, that's one part, which is the consumer interface, or even the AI of the chatbot that you can incorporate in the OTT platform. So the AI piece that you can incorporate even in the chatbot or in your consumer interface, or the fact that when I log in, right, the machine automatically detects my VPN and automatically showcases certain languages, right? That is so convenient. How do you make the consumer interface easier? That's where you need to use the AI ML piece. Of course, the fact that you also work with AI ML on great consumer experience in terms of non-buffering, because ideally your machine or AI should be able to indicate that, listen, the consumer is in such an area and we need to automatically put that stream onto that in two ways. A, not too much of his data is consumed and he gets a non-buffering experience, right? The last but not the least is, of course, the AI and ML piece that you end up using in your marketing tactics, right? Which typically you depend a lot on Google and FB, right? The Google algorithms, the FB algorithms, how to reach out to the consumer and uploading your database over there. So I think AI and ML has a very active role to play in OTT platforms. It all depends on, you know, where all do we want to leverage. But I have always told this to founders that don't expect AI and ML to play a part till you have a certain width and depth of data.
Yeah, that's very nicely put, Divya. You talked about ML and AI. So obviously, you know, these are two different things which people need to know. The ML comes first, and then, you know, you have the AI on top of that, which actually helps you, you know, drive growth. And this is something that I would like to, you know, ask you in terms of what do you think about AI per se?
Actually, one thing I forgot. AI and ML, we've also used in all to create a predictive technology. So my machine will give me a certain amount of data on certain genre of shows. And if I'm launching that show, a same genre of show, then we actually worked on a predictive engine, which AI would look at all the ML learning in the past and then predict, saying, listen, on day one, it will be this, on day two, it will be this, on day three, it will be this. So that's also something we developed in-house at Olt.
Wow. So you can actually, you know, go at a granular level.
Yes. Yes. Amazing. Yes. It's possible. It's possible.
Amazing. Divya, and I think one of the last questions that I would like to ask you is, you know, if you can highlight any growth stories that come on top of your mind, you know, from your illustrious career, you know, which is actually out there, which you would like to share, along with the insights that you got from these growth stories, that would be really nice.
I think one of the best growth stories, honestly, I had is of Olt Balaji. And I'll tell you why. Because A, it's relevant in this discussion and it's the most recent. When I joined Olt, it was at 7 crores, right? And we were the sharpest, smallest platform. You know, I'd come from ZE where the content budget was some 2,500 crores per annum and my marketing budget was some 250 crores. And all of a sudden, you walk into an Olt and the content budget is, you know, 100 crores, 125 crores per annum and the marketing budget is some 25 crores. And now you're wondering how to make this work, because the promoters were very clear that they don't want to look like a small app at any point of time. The growth has to be like a Netflix, Amazon, Z5, Hotstar, and you know, money excuse can never be an issue, right? In fact, I was advised never to discuss that in meetings with board or with the promoters. So I think one of the insights that I have from there is that it's the easiest thing to do is spend money and do marketing or make content. It is only when you have zero money or very less money, your creative juices start flowing and you start, you know, saying, what do I do, right? Now, what do I do? You have two things happening. A, you interact more and more with your team, right? Because you want fresher ideas, because you know you have just this much resource pool and everybody's going to fight for it. So you challenge all your teammates and you say, listen, I'm only going to give you this much, but this is what has to be achieved. Now tell me how you're going to do it. So everybody's creative juices are flowing a lot. Everybody's out in the market talking to various people. So your network is expanding as a platform, as a team, right? So that's a great growth insights, because you're picking up the phone and talking to various people and brands and partners and not just vendors and agencies and saying, ye kharid lo, ye kharid lo, ye kharid lo. You're not doing that, right? You're actually, for example, my brand manager is actually talking to, let's say, a Tinder, and saying, listen, we are launching a show and we would love to partner with you, because, you know, she doesn't have the money to buy inventory, but she can barter something. So that's another insight. You also learn to be extremely conscious about your return. You know, the fact that, for example, I as a business head, I had a very clear mandate. Money spent, great, fantastic, acceptable. These are your yearly budgets, great. But my yearly budgets would never be approved till I could put together a yearly revenue sheet, which was actually 2.5 times of my yearly budget, right? So you learn to work in adversity and you learn to work very sharp. Also, I think great content. The last insight that I have from there, of course, I'm very thankful to them for making me a business person. The last insight I have from there is that great content, if marketed well, right, and smartly, need not have great budgets on marketing or production. It's a great art of storytelling. Of course, you need certain aesthetics and everything, but if the story is great, if the treatment is great, if you've got the right twists and the plots and everything happening, it's all right. The product will work. Of course, the fact that Alt also happened at a point of time that, you know, OTT market was exploding and masses were still looking for a lot of Hindi mass content, and we sort of managed to fill that space. And the last insight was that OTT growth is going to come out of masses. It's not going to come out of urban India any longer.
Yeah, that was quite revealed. And I mean, it was like the writing on the wall that, you know, if you have to grow, then you will have to reach out to that class of audience per se, right?
Correct, which is exactly why at Alt we took the line of massification. Right. We said till now OTT has been a privilege for urban people, but Alt is here to massify it for everybody.
And you know, you talked about your transition. You know, you actually became a professional entrepreneur, so to say, when you worked at Alt, and that actually gave you a lot of insights in terms to, you know, how you put on the business woman hat and then, you know, think of, you know, how it is impacting my P&L, right? So there is a very direct correlation which.
Very well said, Mehul. Actually, yes. Very well said. I will forever be grateful to Alt for giving me that hard ground training.
According to you, how has the role of a marketeer changed over the years, you know?
So marketeer, I think the biggest transition which has happened for a marketeer is that it's no longer about, you know, just getting budgets and spending money and putting up campaigns. I think marketer has now become more answerable for what is the value you're bringing to the business. So marketers are now becoming very ROI conscious. Marketers are being questioned in various meetings. And that's how I think also marketer is no longer a CMO. A marketer is more like a CMDO, which is your chief marketing digital officer, right? Because he needs to be absolutely knowing, because today digital is the main medium. He needs to absolutely know what he's going to do with his money, where he's going to put in so much innovation, but so much return on investment has to happen. And I think that's the best story actually to happen, because I think it also gives a certain joy and pride to a marketer to not become a cost center, but also be a revenue earner, right? There's a certain joy over there.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think a marketer is now looking at the marketer role, or the marketer is now looking at various ways on how to improvise, how to cut budgets, and how to do more of organic work. So that's how everything's changed to balance out the ROI equation.
True, very right on. I would say spot on as far as, you know, defining the new age marketer is concerned. You know, CMDO should probably be the new nomenclature in corporate world.
New title. Got it.
So, you know, before we sign off, I wanted you to share, since you are working with a lot of startups, you are working with, you know, these youngsters who actually are, you know, on the cutting edge of digital marketing and digital per se, they are on the cutting edge of digital. So, any four takeaways that you would like to share for, you know, budding marketers or budding professionals from your experience?
I don't know if I have pearls of wisdom, but I do have something that I have learned along my journey. A, I would say be flexible, be open to taking chances. At times, changing industries or, you know, changing your profile may seem like, oh, will I be able to do it? Will I be able to excel? I would advise you to take chances. I would also say be quick on feet. Right? Especially for marketers today, in this ever-evolving landscape, if you're going to debate things too much, if you're going to wait for perfection, it's just going to endlessly stretch things, and the moment may have gone. For example, a moment, marketing moment, right? Your social media team doesn't slap it out at that point of time. The moment is gone. It's over. And I think Amul is one great example of moment marketing. The other thing which I advise all the young professionals to do is learn. It's okay to make mistakes. Don't be hesitant of doing something because you think you might fail. It's all right. Because if it works, it's great. It's in your favor. If it fails, then you know what not to do next time, right? But at least you've done something, you've understood something. And this is what I always advise my team, to keep certain amount of budgets or certain amount of work for innovations, because till you don't do, you won't know. And the last piece that I have for marketers is collaboration. In today's world, as a marketer, if you don't collaborate, if you don't work across industries with various partners, with various people, your marketing is not going to be effective. You can't just keep buying marketing inventories.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot, Divya. It was an insightful session. And, you know, we got some wonderful insights, which people who are going to see the podcast are going to really appreciate. And thanks a lot again for your time and being on The Growth Genius.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. It was so enjoyable talking to you guys. And thank you so much, Mehul and Infinigent.
Ladies and gentlemen, this brings us to the close of yet another episode of The Growth Genius, where we bring to you stories of growth in marketing and business, powered by Infidigit, the SEO specialists. Divya Dixit's journey is nothing short of exciting, and the transition that she talked about in today's episode of being a marketer and now being a professional entrepreneur, where we see that a marketer today is not just talking about being a cost center, but actually being transitioned into a driver of growth. That is the kind of journey that we saw today, and it actually has inspired me a lot as well. I hope you like this episode and the content that we put on the Growth Genius platform. Keep subscribing, liking and sharing our content so that you spread the word across. We are available on all social media handles, and we are also available on all audio handles, and the link to all of them are given below. So till the next episode of the Growth Genius, keep learning. Keep getting inspired and take care. Thank you.